We're not going to be able to record this ad, so we're going to do a little mid-roll here. We actually got two we got
to
read.
We have to read the boostograms.
And we're going
to
read the boost after this. But Stackwork, short one. They're doing a daily bounty challenge on X. So not doing it on Noster. Paul, you got to do it on Noster. So Stackwork, daily bounty challenge on X. $100 daily. You can win KYC free Bitcoin to one qualifying pull request. You can check it out at Stackwork. That's S-T-A-K-W-O-R-K. And if you just want to see their bounty program they have at Stackwork, go to stackwork.ai to check that out. Well, we also got a new sponsor. I think your shilling has been very good. And they've been impressed. And so they're officially sponsoring the show, BitKey.
It's a pleasure to have them.
Yeah. And so we've talked about it.
If you're, do you have the ad read?
I know what it is. Like Bitcoin, easy to use, hard to lose.
Is it the most secure option? No. I still strongly recommend Cold Card, and I think Cold Card is the best option for people that are more technical focused. But I think for a large portion of the population, BitKey is a fantastic option. The UX is phenomenal. The people building it seem to be really in tune with who their demographic is and building the best products for them. And I will say personally, as someone who has brought a lot of people into the Bitcoin space, being able to onboard them into a secure, easy, self-custody environment that doesn't require a tutorial video, that doesn't require ongoing tech support, is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
So you can find more information at bitkey.world.
I don't know if the promo code's live yet, but try RHR for 10 to 15% off. He's going to get mad if we don't do it too. But if you are somebody like ourselves who runs a business on a Bitcoin standard, needs the proper tools to do that, CoinKite is also a sponsor of the show. You can use RHR to get 5% off their products as a promo code. I use the Cold Card Q.
I personally like the MK4 better.
I like the Q way better.
I like how small the MK4 is. I have no need to compensate.
I'm not trying to compensate. I like the QR scanner. I like the QR scanner. You think it's bad UX. I love it.
I'm SD card maxi. I love the SD card.
Our TFTC hot wallet is Cold Card Q. Keep it in cold storage, but...
I love this. I love Sats cards and Open Dimes for gifts. They're fucking phenomenal. I just gave one, you saw, I just gave one the other day for a wedding. But yeah, so is it RHR as our promo code?
I think so, I think he finally put one in.
Well, there you go. I mean, I think most of the freaks already own Cold Cards.
Buy another one, I'm gonna buy another one. So I've been gifting it to employees. I've got some employees.
I would just say,
crypto first, they use Phantom Wallet, dude.
And I've never heard of Phantom Wallet.
I'd never heard of it until people were like, here's my Phantom Bitcoin address. I'm like, what is that?
I just want to say, like, just a huge shout out to our sponsors in general across the board, because we've definitely developed a reputation where I'm going to show you regardless if you pay us or not. So you definitely have all the leverage to not pay us, and we'll still recommend it. So thank you for believing in us and still supporting the show.
Yeah, and we might as well hit them all. Unchained as well.
Kids are expensive.
Go to unchained.com/RHR. And if you're,
is that our full suite of sponsors?
Yes, it's our full suite right now. And if you're thinking about rolling over a retirement
fund. This is the best mid-roll of all time.
A retirement fund. Unchained.com/RHR will take you to a calculator to help you.
Someone somewhere is bathing their child right now, cannot easily press the skip ad button, and is just fucking hating us.
Hey,
I've been there.
Our sponsors are great. Our sponsors are great.
And I'll just...
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
The button has been hit. The show is live. It's the golden era in America. Welcome back to the show, freaks.
Sorry we're 45 minutes late.
That's on me. Hand up. That's on me this time.
It was an impressive one because I didn't let the freaks know until like 3 hours before the show, and we were still 45 minutes late.
That's on me, freaks. Hand up.
It was for family reasons, so we had good reasons to be late. All's good.
What a week.
And we're here. Good. Week in, week out.
We're here. And are we fighting Ripple? What are we doing?
I miss the jungle.
I miss the jungle too.
I will say though, on how nice is it driving on, you know, a properly paved highway?
It is.
Doesn't it hit well? It's like infrastructure. I love infrastructure.
Somebody asked me, are you going to move to Costa Rica? I said, no, I like my paved roads. I love Costa Rica, but I don't know if I could live in unpaved roads like that my whole life.
It's nice not like breathing in the dust through the AC unit.
Yeah.
You know, like it even permeates the car filter.
I think that got me sick. I was sick all week.
I will say that one of the best things Elon has done with Teslas is they have best-in-class air filter. Like Toyota really, I love Toyotas, but they really fucking phone it in with their air filter. It's like a piece of paper.
What's Tesla have?
He has like a full HEPA filter. Elon always makes ridiculous claims, so do not hold me to it and rely on this claim for your family. But I think he said it would filter out a chemical attack. Like you could just drive through a biological chemical attack and it would filter it out.
That's good to know. Maybe I'll get a Tesla.
Once again, do not take that claim at face value. I don't know.
It's been a week, man. Should we jump right into it? I know we got compressed. I got to drive up to Dallas this afternoon.
Did you see what I named the episode?
I did not. I've retweeted it, but I didn't even read
it's what matters most.
Ross is free.
Ross is finally free.
Yeah. How about that? Promises made, promises over delivered. A full unconditional pardon.
Yeah, I don't think people realize the pardon is incredibly unexpected and a massive, massive upgrade from a commution or a commuted sentence. Now he can live his life to the fullest.
Yeah.
And
does he get his
well deserved? So it happened while I was live with Dorsey on Civil Dispatch. And when I saw the full unconditional pardon, that was my first reaction. I was like, does that mean he gets his Bitcoin back? There's no shot. I mean, he should get his Bitcoin back.
That's what you were saying about Bitfinex for a while, and they're getting their Bitcoin back.
We have a bet, and we'll see if it happens in your time frame.
What is it? July 17th?
Dude, I keep track of all our bets. You want me to check?
Check.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if part of the reason why it took a little bit longer was because he was having the lawyers make sure that if he gave an unconditional pardon, they didn't have to give the Bitcoin back. It is July 16th, and we bet 200,000 sats, and I get 2-1 odds, so you have to pay me 400,000 sats when they don't get their Bitcoin back by July 16th.
Okay. Clock started last week.
But let's bring it back to Ross. You know, Ross has done 12 years in jail, oftentimes thrown in solitary confinement. He was made an example of for a nonviolent crime. And regardless if you think a lengthy prison sentence was deserved or not, I think most people could agree that 12 years was more than what was required. So it's incredibly, it just has hit me really hard and I'm still trying to process it this week. I thought, so 4 years ago, he did his only interview in prison at the Bitcoin 2021 conference. And it was a 25-minute interview, which this is a shortened episode, but if we had done a longer episode, I was considering playing the entire 25-minute interview. People should go listen to it. I have it on my Nostra page at primal.net/Odell. I made a 5-minute clip of that and that's what starts off Citadel Dispatch, but it's a longer 25-minute interview. And the prison warden gave permission for the interview, obviously. Otherwise, the interview wouldn't happen. And even though they gave permission, at the end of the interview, they immediately threw him into solitary confinement. And I was backstage with Lynn Ulbricht, his mother, who is an absolute legend. She has just been fighting for him this entire time. And she was just, you know, brought to incredible tears. You know, she was just completely broken when she got the news that he was thrown in solitary. And I remember giving her a hug at that moment backstage. And in my mind, I was like, there is no shot. Like, it is impossible for us to have won unless Ross is free. But at the same time, like, practically speaking, I thought it was going to be 10 to 20 years. You know, I didn't think 4 years later we were going to be sitting here and he was going to be free. So it's just incredibly, it's incredible. Thank you, Trump. Thank you, President Trump, for making that happen. And I will just, like, I've been, there's many, many parts of this industry that I've been incredibly frustrated with as it's grown and matured. But it's just been very inspiring to see the industry rally around this as a cause and make this the front and center issue. I remember talking to David Bailey, who's one of the board members of Bitcoin Policy Institute and also leads Bitcoin Magazine, BTC Inc. And when he talked to President Trump, the first meeting he ever had with President Trump back in the spring at Trump Tower, like, Trump asked, like, what are your issues? Like, as a constituency, like, what are Bitcoiners' issues? And the number one issue he put right top and center was Free Ross. And I think there's just a lot to be said about that. So it's beautiful to see it actually come to fruition.
Yeah, shout out to David. Shout out to the Libertarian Party that made it a point when he went and spoke at their convention this summer to make that one of their or their top ask as well. And
huge shout out to Lynn.
Shout out to Lynn Ulbricht, a testament to the power of a mother's love and her persistence to ensure that her son made it out. I don't think
she deserves anybody. Every moment going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Mothers, man, just, they're important.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to all the mothers. And also, just for reference here, he created Silk Road at 26. He was arrested at 28. He's 40 years old right now. A lot of his life has passed him by. But fortunately, he has a lot more to go. So it's really good to see him out.
And it was great to see his message last night. He took the Twitter or X and other platforms to get his message out there. He seems very grateful. Everybody out there, like, Ross, when you go, just give him time with his family. Let the man breathe. He just got out of prison.
Yeah, my first reaction, I was like, dude, you don't need to give a statement yet.
Yeah.
But he obviously wanted to, so it's really good to see. But as far as I'm concerned, he could do no further public speaking. That's fine by me.
Yeah.
Take some time.
Take some time.
Those are like the worst takes. People are like, oh, I hope I get Ross on my podcast. It's like, get over your fucking self.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, people. Don't be opportunistic. That was great. Ross is free. We don't have to hashtag free Ross anymore. It's it is surreal. You know, I am interested to see whether or not he just fades into obscurity or decides to do something with the newfound freedom. Very interested to see what that is if he does decide to do it. Moving on.
To be fair, we have plenty of other people we have to free now too.
Yeah, Assange.
And Assange is free. It'd be nice for him to get a pardon.
Yes.
Snowden,
Samurai
Developers, Tornado Cash. There's others. This is not an exhaustive list. Also, now that preemptive pardons are a thing, we just got to go through the stack of Bitcoin developers and get them all preemptive pardons by the end of the term.
Well, that's actually a good segue. into the executive order to create a working group on digital assets, and a lot of people are pissed off about the digital asset. It's not part of this executive order. Had the task force to analyze the potential for digital asset strategic reserve. I'm sure many of you are aware at this point. It seems like Ripple, Brad Garlinghouse, Chris Larson, the scumbags over there, are throwing a lot of money and influence around behind the scenes after actively campaigning for Kamala, actively campaigning for a central bank digital currency, actively campaigning against Bitcoin and its proof of work system for years. They've sort of blown with the political wind and are now, from what I hear, throwing tens of millions of dollars at politicians on Capitol Hill and the Trump administration to affect policy. And from what I understand, they are the reason why the language in the executive order was as broad as it was as it pertains to quote unquote digital assets. So that's a fight that we're going to have to fight, is to help the Trump administration recognize that Ripple is a complete and utter scam and has been since 2012, when they pre-mined all $100 billion XRP tokens and started paying themselves immediately. Those donations that Ripple is making were printed out of thin air. But there were other things in the executive order, one of which, why I brought up
the executive order. Did you intentionally switch the order of my list?
Well, yes, because you created, not intentionally, but you created a natural segue with the preemptive pardons for Bitcoin developers. Part of this executive order was the protection of people building software that enable self-custody and digital asset infrastructure. So,
yeah, I mean, that's something that shitcoiners can rally behind as well. You know, I think, you know, they also explicitly called out CBDCs and said that America will not go down the path of CBDCs, which I think is a little bit hand wavy, because then they also paved the way for quote unquote stable coins or USD tokens, corporate USD tokens, which accomplishes a lot of the same goals as dystopian goals as CBDCs without the narrative baggage. America is a country that has very deep public private partnerships to do a lot of our dirty work for us. And it tends to scale much better than centrally managed shit, right? Like, I think corporate-led USD tokens will be a lot more effective than a centrally managed US CBDC or a Chinese CBDC. So in a lot of ways, those are more dangerous. But it is good to see the self-custody piece. I would just say that, yes, Ripple is probably a main part of this. They've historically been a main part of it because of their massive pre-mine. They have a lot of money to spend. But also just in general, the shitcoin lobby
has a lot of money. I've heard specifically behind the scenes, it's Ripple and only one entity in the shitcoin lobby. And it's Chris Dixon from A16Z.
I mean, dude, the crypto czar himself is David Sacks, chief shitcoiner.
I hear Chris Dixon's really making a fuss, not because of the Bitcoin strategic reserve, but because of, I believe, in the Bitcoin strategic reserve bill that Cynthia Lummis is put forth. I could be wrong, but there's somewhere, whether it's an executive order, a bill that's being proposed that is going to force the Silicon Valley VCs that are allocating to pre-mined token to vest, to hold for a significant amount of time. And that is throwing a wrench in their ability to immediately dump on retail. And so they're throwing a tantrum behind the scenes about that.
Look, I think if you go back 8 months, it looked like a lot of our friends were on the verge of being thrown in gulags, right? And right now, that doesn't look like it's the case. It looks like things are trending in the right direction. And really, regulation-wise, didn't get much sleep last night. What we really want to see is just a hands off, right? Just no, less regulation is better. Let the free market figure it out. That is best case scenario. And what I think we start to see in a quote unquote pro crypto, pro Bitcoin government is usually what is going to be treated is suit coiners, right? So what the suits want, I have in the list SAB 121 getting reversed, right? Banks being able to hold Bitcoin, clear suit priority. And shitcoiners who tend to be suit adjacent. They have a lot of money. They're often heavily VC backed by traditional Silicon Valley VCs. So they're kind of suits as well. And every suit is kind of a shitcoiner as well. And I think Trump is also a shitcoiner at heart. And I think most of our future presidents will be shitcoiners going forward, at least in the short to medium term. I think politicians and shitcoins have a lot of the Venn diagram overlaps a lot. There's a lot of overlap there. I mean, don't forget that this last week, Trump actually launched his own shitcoin.
Yes.
Like, did Ripple encourage him to launch a Solana-based meme coin? Probably not. I think he realized he can make a lot of money off of it. And fucking did it. So I think this is just the reality we're going to be living in. I have a lot of priorities in my life and I have a lot of things to fight. I'm not going to be trying to fight the wave of shitcoinery entering the political arena. I just think it's kind of inevitable. It's going to happen. Children have to touch the stove. They're going to get burnt. There's going to be a lot of negative consequences. And I'm mostly going to stay humble and stack sats about it. But the key element here is if we can end up in a situation going forward where people that are working on freedom technology and are working on Bitcoin privacy and working on Bitcoin self-custody and working on the Bitcoin protocol don't have to worry about their livelihood and worry about getting thrown in a fucking cell and their whole life getting ruined, then that's a massive, massive win. And what we're seeing right now in social media land is the extreme positive takes and the extreme negative takes are both wrong. It's really somewhere in the middle. But social media thrives on the provocativeness, right? And the somewhere in the middle right now is actually quite good. We're in a quite good situation.
Yeah, we are. I've been saying this all week. I think I completely agree with that. If the ability to humbly stack sats without fear of the government fucking something up and the ability to write code without fear of the government throwing in jail and the ability to run companies without fear of the government throwing notices and fines at you comes at the expense of unfettered shitcoinery, I'll take it. Touch the stove. We've been talking about this a lot. I mean, if we're being intellectually consistent with what we've been saying on the show for many years, it's that we actually don't believe the SEC should be doing this. We believe you should be able to do whatever you want and lose money and take risk. And it seems like that's what's on the table. And our job here is not to try to get people, try to get the authorities to shut down Ripple or meme coins or whatever it may be. It's to educate you, our incredible listeners, about why you should stay away and avoid the stove and just stay humble and stack sats. We'll help you save that time. You can go do it if you want to. Most likely going to lose money, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been incredibly consistent that shitcoins are not a threat to Bitcoin. They're a threat to the people who choose to speculate on them. And I think that is more clear than ever before to more people than ever before.
You know what, and you want to hear a crazy stat?
Go for it.
I recorded with James Check from Check on Chain last night. And when Bitcoin, like, I believe on the 21st or during Inauguration Day, when it went from like 101 to 109, that move in market cap, like Bitcoin added 40% of Ethereum's market cap in that move. Like, to your point, shitcoins are like not even in the same realm of Bitcoin anymore. That blew me away when you told me that yesterday.
And But humans are, they like to gamble. Humans like to gamble. And so people gamble on shitcoins. Who knows how long that will last? It'll probably last quite a long time. And you might be able to make money short term. You probably won't. 99% of people won't. They'll be better off staying on the stacking sats about it. And people will learn hard lessons. And that's just how it goes. You know, there's no answer there. You can ship these things without permission. So I'm kind of curious, Marty, what is your opinion on Trump coin? Did you buy any?
I did not. I was with you when it launched. We were sitting in a bar laughing.
I'm just being a troll.
Not shy.
What's the market cap currently of Trump coin?
Look it up, Logan. Look at, he was just sitting there, like, going to make us do the work. You're our Jamie. You're supposed to go find this. He was literally sitting back in his chair.
I mean, Logan, the best was when he had us produce our own show, and then he was in the live chat watching. Oh, I'm busy. I'm just going to watch in the live chat.
Did we talk about this? Because we did RHR after Trump coin launched, didn't we? We did it right before.
$6 billion market cap.
$6 billion, that's it. It was at,
does that sound like right?
50, wasn't it 50 at one point?
Oh no, because no, this is measuring it at the current circulating supply of 200 million, not at the full, well, that was 1 billion.
That was at 50 billion at one point. So that's a down to six.
No, wasn't 15, the peak, it was like at 70 bucks?
It was at 15 billion, the free float supply at one point. So down to six, that's a pretty hefty, it's a nine.
Well, I think the Trump team is cashing out, right? Isn't that what I saw?
Yeah, and they're buying Wrapped Bitcoin and Tron and Solana and Ethereum.
Straight fucking grifter shit, man.
Yeah, is it a surprise? That's what I was going to say. You asked me what are my thoughts. Not the least shocking thing in the world. The Trumps have put their name on everything. That is their modus operandi, to think that they weren't going to put their name on a meme coin is naive.
Yeah, see, Carlos was right. Trump intentionally launched it like 6 hours after the last RHR.
Yeah.
He knew he needed to launch it post RHR. Give the most time possible. That's why I had to bring it up. Yeah, I mean, it goes in line with him, you know, Trump steaks, Trump watches, Trump shoes, all the Trump branded shit.
Yeah.
Trump coins, Trump this, Trump that.
Trump.
And then Melania, they released one for Melania. That was too. Like,
Trump's, listen, talking a big game, but you obviously don't know the game that you're playing in this meme coin world. Perceived scarcity is the most important thing, and you go out and you dilute your brand 2 days later.
I think
terrible move.
I think he's, I mean, he made a bank.
Could have made more bank though if he just kept.
But anyway, this wasn't on Ripple. This was on Solana. I think Sachs is behind a lot of this shit.
I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised.
And don't forget, he still has that World Liberty Fi or whatever that he's pretending he's not associated with anymore. It's apparently just inspired by him.
Apparently it's a part of all that.
That's going to be the long-running scam.
Yeah. Speaking of Sachs, I'm going all over on the list here. It's not even on the list, but I thought I'd bring it up. Fold got approved by the SEC. Shareholder
meeting. Huge win.
On the 12th to decide when they go public. Or I believe there's a vote. And shout out to Will Reeves, Wolf, Brian, everybody over there on the Fold team. Shout out to Jonathan from 1031 too. I know he's spent an incredible amount of time on this as well. And I know he's
yeah, our boy Jonathan's
very happy to be at the finish line.
It's been a long run. Well done, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Well deserved.
Yeah. Do, 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 do. Back to more U.S. government topics. This was a big one. The U.S. District Court officially reverses the sanctions on Tornado Cash. U.S. District Court ordered the OFAC to remove addresses associated with Tornado Cash from its specially designated national and block persons list following an appeals court ruling that the Treasury Department exceeded its authority in sanctioning the crypto mixer. Very good precedent to see. However, I do believe they're going to continue with the case against Roman.
Yeah, look at the next link on the list.
Next link on the list. Tornado Cash sanctions reversal has no effect on developer's trial, says the DOJ. Tornado Cash developer Roman Storm seeks to dismiss charges after a Fifth Circuit ruling reverse sanctions against the software. The U.S. government argues this reversal doesn't impact the criminal trial, asserting the case primarily concerns control over Tornado Cash user interface. The defendant regurgitates arguments about the supposed requirement that a money transmitting business have custody or control of the funds being transferred. For the reason already briefed at length, the argument is meritless and finds no support in the statute of case law. Which sounds like bullshit. Am I wrong? I'm not a lawyer, but that sounds like bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it plays out, but this case so far has been incredibly frustrating to watch.
Roman took to X to, he sent a personal video out earlier this week. I highly recommend you guys go watch it if you have time. Did you link to that as well or no?
I did not.
Okay. Logan, find it. Link to it.
And there's the other Roman that's getting fingered for Bitcoin Fog Mixer.
They're fingering him?
In his case, I don't think he actually ran Bitcoin Fog.
No, he didn't do it.
In the Tornado Cash case, these guys actually ran it, but they didn't have custody. Yeah.
Sorry, that was vulgar, freaks.
So different elements.
Yeah.
You're watching too much porn, Marty. You got to get your mind out of the gutter.
But Roman was already charged, wasn't he? Bitfog?
Yeah, but they're appealing it.
You mentioned it, but I think it does merit a bit more attention. It's just the fact that the U.S. SEC withdrew controversial accounting guidance SAB 121 days after Gary Gensler left, and they issued SAB 122. And there is some interesting language. I did have it up. There it is. So SAB stands for Staff Accounting Bulletin. And as I said, the SEC issued SAB 122 earlier. And in the summary, it says the Staff Accounting Bulletin rescinds the interpretive guidance included in Section FF of Topic 5 in the Staff Accounting Bulletin entitled Accounting for Obligations to Safeguard Crypto Assets an Entity Holds for its Platform Users. And so this new bulletin was specifically to gut SAB 121. And for those who are unaware, SAB 121 essentially made it impossible for banks to custody Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies because they coupled, they basically said, if you want to do this, you need to keep one-to-one cash reserves alongside your Bitcoin and broader digital asset holdings that you have on your bank, and that just makes it infeasible to comply with. Number one, because you have to go find that cash to hold against those reserves, and then number two, as we all know, this industry is extremely volatile. The price volatility, you would have moving targets of reserves.
Well, you basically have double reserves.
Yeah.
Because if you're actually holding full reserve Bitcoin, then you're holding, let's say you're holding $1 million in Bitcoin, you have to hold $1 million as well. So you have to hold $2 million worth, which just seems intentionally predatory. The suit coiners love that this got repealed. This has been a big suit coiner.
This is how the suits are going to get rugged. We've talked about this.
This is the problem here, right? Because we went from one extreme to the next. Right. So SAB 121 required too much reserves, which just made it practically infeasible for them to operate. But now the current reality is, and I'm a non-regulation free market guy, so I don't have a solution here. But what's going to happen is they're going to do fractionally reserved Bitcoin. They're not even going to hold full reserves in the Bitcoin in the first place. But, you know, all the banks are insolvent. So what do you expect?
Yeah. I mean, the solution is do what Unchained's been doing for years, which is if you're going to offer custody and products based off of that custody to your clients, newsflash, suits, Bitcoin has these incredible transparent properties where you can set up wallets in a way where you can distribute.
Yeah, but they're not going to do that.
Provide assurances. I know they're not going to do it. They're going to get rugged.
Dude, MicroStrategy doesn't even do that.
That's true. But MicroStrategy doesn't even hold their own Bitcoin. This is different. They're going to be holding Bitcoin.
I mean, MicroStrategy doesn't hold their own Bitcoin and they don't do proof of reserves.
Yeah.
Look, it's a free market, right?
And people it comes down to the user, the consumer. If you're out there and you're listening, do not ape into these bank products. Look for the boutique companies that are doing it right, whether that's, I mean, Debify, they've been going out there. This is what their whole company exists for. They've built a suite of developer tools revolving around multi-sig custody, distributed collaborative custody to provide to the banking industry. And you could easily import that. Caravan's open source. Import these things. And if you're a bank, I'm just saying, I know you don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to do it either, but it would be remiss of us not to publicly state, get it on air January 24th, 2025. Say the suits are going to get burnt unless they do something like this.
Yeah, just, or you can just self-custody, hold the keys yourself.
Yeah, I don't ever like just if use the bank to custody your Bitcoin. But if you want to, like, there are going to be needs to use these services for financial. You want to use Bitcoin as collateral for a mortgage.
If you want to borrow against, yeah, if you want to borrow against your Bitcoin, which is risky business to begin with, so don't enter into that situation lightly. Ideally, you should do it in a situation where you know funds are not being rehypothecated, and multisig, like Marty said, with Debify, HODL, Unchained. Is a very clean protocol-based way of doing it because you can actually see on-chain that the funds haven't moved. But otherwise, self-custody is extremely accessible. You can go out, buy a cold card. If you're very new, maybe buy a BitKey and then graduate up to a cold card. I truly believe cold card's the best in the game. It's what me and my businesses rely on, my family and my businesses rely on. It's way more accessible than you think it is. If you can drive a car, if you can raise a kid, you can do self-custody Bitcoin. It's actually quite easy, and it's incredibly powerful. And anyone who gives up custody of their Bitcoin usually gets wrecked eventually. And the least responsible people historically have been banks. So if you give them your Bitcoin, you will probably lose your Bitcoin. And there'll be very hard lessons learned. To Weirdo Robot in the Zap stream, I'm watching the Zap stream. I've been saying Suit Corner for about 4 years now, maybe longer. I did not come up with it this weekend. But yes, I have said it many times in this episode so far.
And Weirdo also, Robot, just admit it, you're going to start saying Suit Corner. It's catchy.
I think I owned the domain at one point, but I owned too many domains, so I think I got rid of it. Yeah. And I was like, what was I going to use it for? I'm like, I got to just stop buying domains. They're complete shit coins. Huge shout out to silent.link, 42,000 satsap in the Zap stream. Paulie, 21,000 satsap. And I think Mav21 was the other 21,000 satsap. We appreciate you freaks. Thank you for supporting the show.
Love all y'all. Next up on the list, Senator Cynthia Lummis from Wyoming demands the FDIC to halt destruction of Operation 2.0 materials. This was after a whistleblower came forth and said the FDIC is deleting and burning a lot of files pertaining to the paper trail of Operation Chokepoint 2.0.
That's fucked up.
Throw them all in jail. These people targeted our industry. Targeted individuals.
Government should only be allowed to
took down a bank
burn.
That was fully solvent in Silvergate, run by an incredible human in Alan Lane. They let short sellers besmirch his reputation, the reputation of his family, and they led to a systemic bank run of 2023. That's what people, if you guys haven't gone and watched the podcast I did with Caitlin Long many months ago, Operation Chokepoint 2.0 and the attack on our industry and the banks that were servicing the companies in our industry. Yes, many of them were servicing shitcoin chop shops, but Silvergate specifically designed the reserve requirements for its bank to take in the fact that a lot of their counterparties were doing risky stuff. They had all the money in the bank at the time that the FDIC put them in receivership. They have successfully returned every single dollar deposit that was put in their bank, despite the fact that they had an incredible run. Like, nobody could have survived the bank run that Silvergate did survive. The FDIC, Gary Gensler, Elizabeth Warren, everybody involved in Operation Chokepoint 2.0 literally caused that banking crisis in 2023. Silvergate, Signature, Silicon Valley Bank, First Liberty. None of that would have happened if Elizabeth Warren, her crypto army, and the FDIC, weaponized by the Biden administration, did not target us. They literally put the country, the stability of the banking system at risk. Granted, as Matt said, the banking system's insolvent, but you don't want the government putting their finger on the scale to put undue pressure on the liquidity situation of the banking system. That's exactly what they did. They created the BTFP, arguably wouldn't have existed when it did if Operation Chokepoint 2.0 wasn't there. And the fucked up part is they were trying to say that we, crypto, caused all this, but it was the exact opposite. The government attacking us caused this. These people, Elizabeth Warren should be thrown in jail. Whoever's in the FDIC, if you're deleting information and you're watching this, I know you guys watched this at the FDIC. Hopefully there's good people in there now. We're in the golden era. Hopefully Trump put in some good people there. But if any of you who are hanging on from the Biden administration are still there, stop deleting files. Cynthia Lummis is going to come get you. You're going to get subpoenaed. We're going to get to the bottom of this.
Government just shouldn't be allowed to burn files unless an embassy is getting overrun. I feel like that should just be a hard-coded rule.
Yeah.
I think a good litmus test of how much has changed from the last administration to the current administration will be what's Caitlin Long's bank's name?
Custodia. I'm losing
it for a second. Will be what happens with Custodia. If they allow Custodia to proceed as a full reserve bank in a Ponzi banking system, I think that will be a good signal on where we stand.
Well, that's the fucked up part about Custodia. Again, go listen to Caitlin Long episode. I would imagine the Trump admin would be fine letting it happen. Their big holdup right now is the Fed. They can't get a master account at the Fed, which, as we all know, is a private entity, despite the name Federal Reserve.
Not a private entity.
It's not federal. The Federal Reserve?
It's a quote-quote private entity.
I mean, it's tied at the hip with you, but it has a board of directors that does not have to answer to the government. I mean, Jerome Powell explicitly acknowledged this a few months ago during a FOMC meeting when he was asked, if Trump asks you to step down, will you do that? Does he have the power to make you do that? He said, no, he doesn't. Federal Reserve is independent. I agree with you. It's quasi-governmental, but there are details.
This is the hill
here.
Marty's dying on. Throw it on the wall. Put it on a quote. The Federal Reserve is independent. Marty Bent. Boom.
I put it on the wall. I will die on this hill. The Federal Reserve is independent. They can fuck up the country without any accountability, because technically the government cannot control what they do.
Okay.
All right. You're going to die on the hill that the Federal Reserve is an independent, run by board of directors of shady bankers.
I know that they pretend it's independent, but that's clearly bullshit. Historically, that's been clearly bullshit.
No, you're wrong on this. In recent history, literally last year, the Treasury Department wanted the Fed to cut rates quicker and faster than they did. They started late, according to the Biden administration, and Janet Yellen was forced to issue on the short end of the curve to create quasi QE. Like that, if go, it's in the data. It's literally in the data of Treasury issuance. Like
the mother asshole of all psyops.
No. The mother asshole of all psyops is to make you think it's part of the government.
Okay.
Moving on. We'll get to the boost. Like I said, short rip. Sorry. Would have been longer if I was on time. That's on me.
Before you get there, I just want to respond to a comment I see in the chat about Fran from Zap Store, which, by the way, I had a great rip with on Cyril Dispatch quite recently, getting his most recent OpenSats application rejected like a week after the Cyril Dispatch. Anyone who's using Android should go check out Zap Store. It's awesome. Look, OpenSats is designed in a way that no single person has significant influence over decisions. We're funding, I think, nearly 200 developers in 40 plus countries. Over $1 million of Bitcoin is sent out every month. Applications are rejected for various reasons. We are talking to Fran privately, giving him feedback. I would love to see him get funded again, personally. Not everything is a massive controversy.
Are you sure about that? Is that a hill you want to die on?
Yeah.
Everything's controversial. Top four boosts from Rabbit Hole Recap. 340 Bitcoin, $100,000. From Pringle Max, 77,777 sats, sevens across the board, palindrome boost. Jungle Fever is a thing. Lots of new apes in the ring, disappointed but not surprised. Cannot imagine what will be discussed if this is read out. The circus has come to town. But we will win. Stay humble, stack sats. P.S. Matt, the trivia question last week, I did mean 21 million sats, not Bitcoin. I may be technically challenged, but not dumb. Plus, I'm a woman and like to be right. P.S.S. We hope to see you in Riga this year. Love, Sil. Love you, Sil.
Thanks for the support. I think we paid out Jack Mallers for that trivia, right?
We did. 20,000 sats. He was right. Or 20 million sats.
No, 50,000 sats, right?
We paid him 50,000 sats, but the answer was 20 million sats.
Oh, yeah.
Scott Orford, 10,000 sats. Scott Orford from Bitcoin Mining World says, join us at the Milwaukee Bitcoin Meetup on Tuesday, February 11th at 6 p.m. to explore the Bitcoin white paper, grab a drink or a bite to eat, and join the enthralling conversation. RSVP at meetup.com/Milwaukee-Wisconsin-Bitcoin-Meetup. Check it out if you're in Milwaukee, February 11th, 6 p.m.
Love it. Meetups are awesome.
At Bond.
Go to your local meetup.
6789 sats. 789 sats. Happy New Year, guys. Regarding Fedimints and Freedom One in particular, three of the four guardians have been offline for around 3 weeks now, making anyone with sats in the mint unable to move them out before they actually shut down. You said they don't want to rug anyone, but unless this comes online soon, this is essentially a rugging. Be aware.
Yeah, both Bitcoin Principles and Freedom One, the two main public Fedimints, are running in an incredibly degraded state. Through my discussions with both sets of federations, they're trying their best to get everything online. It's quite a mess. I know it's not a great answer, but you should just keep trying to withdraw and remove your funds ASAP. And a lot of people have. Like, if you look at the public Fedimint stats, fortunately, there isn't that much Bitcoin left in there. But yeah, this is definitely not an intentional rugging from my perspective.
At open mic, 5,555 sats, fives across the board, palindrome boost, great rip, purple heart, lightning, purple heart. Thank you, open mic.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the support.
That was the top four boost from Rabbit Hole Recap 340. We're getting zaps and zap.stream. Shout out to Bitcoin and Space 2 for the 21,000 sats. Shout out to Easy for the 2,100 sats. Shout out to Silent Link for the biggest boost of the day. Biggest zap of the day, excuse me, of the stream. 42,000 sats.
Honestly, like, I think we should just call them all zaps going forward.
I mean, Fountain is technically a Nostr client now, so would make sense. The Freedom Rights Foundation Financial Freedom Report story of the week is coming from Iran, where the regime is profiting from currency devaluation in Iran. Hossein Somsami, a member of the parliament's economic committee, accused the government of exploiting foreign currency exchange rates to profit at the expense of ordinary citizens. The regime recently increased the rial's official exchange rate from 550,000 to 640,000 rial per dollar. A move, Samsami explained, was to sell the $5 billion it had taken from the National Development Fund at the highest price. By manipulating the exchange rate, the regime effectively stole 1 quadrillion rials, or $23 billion, from citizens. This deliberate devaluation will drive up inflation, deplete savings, and push basic goods further out of the reach. Iran's multi-tiered exchange rate system has long fueled corruption, allowing regime insiders to profit from the gap between the artificially low official exchange rate and the higher free market rate. To block any financial escape, the regime has tried to close on-ramps to Bitcoin. Yeah, hate to say it, but it's important to know about it. And if you want to know about this story and more, make sure you sign up for the Financial Freedom Report at financialfreedomreport.org. Newsletter comes out every Thursday morning. This is why we Bitcoin. I mean, and this is a perfect example of the Cantillon effect. This is like immediate Cantillon effect. Let's like devalue, sell everything, get the money, and inflation takes time to matriculate throughout the economy.
It's also a perfect example that if you want the most protection that Bitcoin provides, you need to improve your skills and start using it before you need it. Because when you actually need it, it becomes much harder to get access to it. And obviously, there is a learning curve when you're trying to use Bitcoin in a freedom-oriented way. So you want to get comfortable with the tools. You want to be prepared in order to be protected in what is unfortunately seems like the inevitable situation where your government tries to bend you over a barrel and fuck you.
Safe-proof yourself from getting bent over a barrel. Learn how to self-custody and use Bitcoin.
There you go. Before we wrap, Greg in the Zap stream wants to know our opinion on Barefoot Mining's report that mining with Ocean.xyz is 30% more profitable than mining with the most popular pools. Do you have an opinion on this?
Pretty dope if true. Had not seen this, so pulling up the chart now. Looks like this is, looks like their actual variance. Their number of mine blocks compared to what they were expected based on variance and the amount of hash rate they have was only 94%. So despite that, even anymore, this is really cool to see. Barefoot Mining released their 12-month data comparing Ocean payouts to three standard FPPS pools. Ocean paid out almost more than 20% more than those pools at just over 94% overall luck. Transaction fee revenue contained in your average block is between 1% to 2% additional revenue for miners added to the subsidy. That's it. So when Peter Todd and other ODS suffers cherry-pick numbers being generous to their position, they're focusing on less than 10% or less than 2% of miners' overall income. Yeah, I don't know. I got to read further into it. You have thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense to me that it'd be more profitable. I was talking to a miner that had switched half their hash rate earlier this year, and they were seeing that it was significantly more profitable. The big issue is because they have such small amount of hash rate, such a low hash rate, it's kind of a chicken and egg problem that you do have variance concerns, which is long time between blocks being found.
You know what solves variance concerns? Being more profitable.
And that can be a particular concern in times when hash rate is increasing rapidly. But it's a chicken and egg problem. I'm surprised we haven't seen more miners switch to Ocean. It is hard to bootstrap a new pool.
Pseudo Carlos.
But if you are a what?
Carlos is slandering me, saying, I still send my hash rate to Foundry. Still never have, never will. Brains till I die. Which, by the way, Brains launched a solo pool this week, too.
Fuck Brains.
Why?
Brains is just a proxy pool now for...
Not fully, but they're working on it. They just launched a solo pool, a solo mining pool. They're trying to fix the problem.
I mean, with Ocean, you can do actual solo mining.
This is like a CK or a CK solo pool. This is like if you get the block, you get the whole reward.
Yeah, but with Ocean, you can actually construct the block yourself.
That's true.
Look, I mean, it probably a little bit too provocative saying fuck Brains. I was just a little bit frustrated that Marty interrupted me. But no, Brains was one of the most ethically run, freedom-focused mining pools for a long period of time. And a lot of the people that work at Brains are awesome people. And it is frustrating to see them move into the Ant pool, the central bank of Ant pool. So hopefully that's not a long-term decision, but we'll see how that plays out. And what I was saying is I am surprised that Ocean hasn't gotten more hash rate, and that if you are a miner out there, you should consider at least pointing some of your hash rate there and doing your own tests, right? Do your own research and see, compare it to the profitability of whatever pool you're currently using.
Sorry for interrupting you. I agree with that.
You're fine.
Check out Ocean.
I usually interrupt you, so I deserve it sometimes.
I know we got a tight rip today, so I've been trying to get it in. What else do we have? I think that's it on the list.
Well, we're running 15 minutes over your hard stop.
Yeah, I got to get on the road here.
Okay. Well, love you, freaks. Huge shout to Ross and Lynn. I'm so happy for you guys. Stay humble, stack sets.
Peace and love.